Okay, good morning, everyone. This is the regular meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission, and it is June 10th, 2021. Ramona, could you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Villacana?
Present.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Here.
Commissioner Henry?
Here.
And Chairman Moultari?
Here.
And please let the record show that Commissioner Campbell is absent.
Thank you. It's traditional that we start our meetings with a flag salute, so would you join me, please, in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Before we begin, I have an announcement regarding calls. The county planning commissioners, the planning staff, and members of the public wishing to provide live public comment are all participating in this meeting using Zoom. Alternative methods for public participation can be found attached to the agenda, as well as a link to a Zoom user guide for public participation. The public may watch or listen to the meeting live online at the county website or on TV on Channel 21. If you are a member of the public wishing to provide live public comment and have joined us by website or smartphone app, when I call for public comment on a specific item, please do so by using the raise hands feature at the bottom of your screen. If you are joining us by phone, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it's your turn to speak, the clerk will unmute your connection, announce your name or the last three digits of the phone number if you're calling in, and let you know that you are live on the line to make your comments. You will be timed for 3 minutes, which is the usual amount. If you are streaming the meeting through Channel 21 or on the county website and wish to provide live public comment through Zoom, please log in or call in early, as there is an approximate 60-second delay between the meeting and the live stream. Please remember to turn down your broadcast volume when speaking during public comment to reduce interference or feedback noise. Thank you. So our first business item today is public comment period. Do we have any people who would like to address the commission on items that are not on today's agenda?
Good morning, Chairman Moultari. We did not receive pre-recorded messages, but at this time, if there is any member of the public that wishes to speak during general public comment, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9. And we do have a request to speak by Cecile Serbeck. Ms. Serbeck, you will receive a notification that we are attempting to unmute your connection. Your line has been unmuted and your comments are limited to 3 minutes.
I actually turned in a recorded message for public comment, so I'm not sure what happened to my recording.
Did you submit a message for a specific item on the agenda?
No, public comment was what I recorded, and a specific comment on an agenda item. I did two recordings.
Okay, if you wish to provide your comment for general public comment at this time, please do so.
Okay. Basically, what I wanted to say was that I believe Slo County should actually go by the guidelines of the Coastal Commission codes, as opposed to trying to bend the rules on homes and on real estate land and the town of Los Osos. When you try to put in temporary construction yards and next to people's homes where they live and they're not allowed, you're actually hurting a whole community, and you're trying to hurt Los Osos. And I don't think anybody from the building and planning department should be trying to hurt our community. You should be trying to enhance it and make it better for everyone, not just for one person's benefit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Serbeck. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak on items that are not on today's agenda?
Chairman Moultari, no additional requests to speak have been received.
Okay, very good. We are now turning to the consent agenda. There's just one item, which is the minutes from our last meeting.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes, ma'am.
We have planning staff updates before the consent agenda, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Yes, Alexandria, could you update us?
Good morning. My update is brief. Good morning, Chair Moultrie and Commissioners. Alexandria Fowler, representing the Planning and Building Department. There are no reportable actions by the Board of Supervisors that pertain to your commission recently. And for your June 24th meeting, the following three items have been tentatively scheduled. The first is a request to amend the existing Chevron Tank Farm Remediation and Development Project conditional use permit to allow for an increased volume of non-hazardous impacted soils removal on the 322-acre San Luis Obispo Tank Farm property and to modify the approved haul routes to allow for the disposal of that non-hazardous impacted soil at the Cold Canyon landfill. The project site is located on the south of San Luis Obispo at 276 Tank Farm Road, making the address longer than it is. The second item is a time extension, and it's a request for the third and final time extension for a minor use permit, coastal development permit. And that use permit allowed the grading on slopes greater than 20% and the construction of a 3,000 square foot single family residence, almost 1,900 square foot of decks and interior stairs, and approximately 1,100 square feet of attached garage and storage area. That project is located on the north side of Pacheco Valley Road, just north of the entrance to Montana de Oro State Park in the community of Los Osos. And then the last item that is scheduled is an amendment. It's a request to amend the official maps of the coastal zone land use element to rezone approximately 5 acres from agriculture to residential rural land use designation for the future development of a private cemetery. And this project is located on the Hearst Ranch in the community of San Simeon. For your July 8th meeting, there are currently no items tentatively scheduled. Therefore, staff anticipates that we will be canceling that meeting. If it is canceled, your next meeting will be July 22nd. This concludes staff's updates.
Very good. Thank you, Alexandria. Any questions for staff? Okay. Now we are ready for the consent agenda. Is there anyone, Daniela, who wanted to speak on this by any chance?
Chairman Moultrie, no requests for the consent agenda.
Okay. Commissioners, any comments on the one item on our consent agenda?
Nothing.
Okay, then I would accept a motion, please, to approve them.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the consent agenda. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's approved. That brings us to our hearing items. Ramona or Daniela, could you please introduce the first of our hearing items?
Hearing item number 4 is a hearing to consider a request by Coastal Christian School for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2020-00144. Supervisorial District number 3, Project Manager Shawnee Seong. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or press star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do this at this time in order to be called at the public comment portion of this hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. Seon. Thank you.
Ramona,
excuse me, Shawnee, before you start, I wanted to ask for ex parte communications, and also if there's a I have an announcement to make in this regard. Many years ago, my consulting firm did work for the city of Pismo Beach on work related to this project site. This was before the county took jurisdiction and approved the conditional use permit. I have reviewed the situation with county council and concluded that there is no conflict of interest. I just wanted to put that on the record. And Are there any ex parte communications that need to be announced before we begin on this item?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Christina.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I did want to let you know that Mrs. Florence, who's been working on the project, a contractor to support them, reached out to my commissioner my supervisor, who reached out to me, and I did speak with her on Monday. We spoke about the history of the project and how the school has evolved, which has led to the request. We also spoke about how the school fit into the community and if they foresaw any concerns from the neighbors in their surrounding area. We also talked about their thoughts on green energy, solar, use of native plants, and school design in terms of impact after COVID-19. So those were our key areas.
Thank you, Commissioner Spearman. Anyone else?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I too, in a similar fashion to Commissioner Spearman, was contacted through my supervisor by Mrs. Florence. We corresponded via email and then subsequently met on site on the 8th of June when Ms. Florence actually, we walked around the entire property. She discussed the history, the plans, and some of those dynamics. I was also at that time introduced to the headmaster, Mr. Tom Olmstead.
Very good.
The same. I was reached out to by Carol Florence via email and just corresponded with her via email. Did not talk to her in person. And then separately, I did speak to a parent, District Attorney Dan Dow, who is a parent, and he was just calling to express his support for the project. So that was it.
Thank you. I didn't speak with anyone on this project, but I did visit the site solo. Okay. Now that we have our ex parte communications announced, Shawnee, if you could give us your presentation.
Okay. All right. Can everyone see my presentation slide? Is it up?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. All right. Good morning, Chair Moltari and members of Planning Commission. So this morning, we have a request by Coastal Christian School to consider amendments to the previously approved DRC 2008-00021 conditional use permit. The applicant is requesting several amendments. First, it would like to eliminate all the 8 project phases and the associated time limits for each phase. They would like to remove the 10-year limit to phase 0, which is meant to be a temporary campus, and would like to use the existing structures as a permanent campus. They would like to remove the condition requiring secondary access because it is no longer required when CAL FIRE code got updated in 2019. They are also proposing a revised campus layout which consolidates several structures into one multipurpose building and relocates some of the ancillary outdoor facilities. They're requesting the use of a nighttime lighting for the sports field, and they're also requesting that turf be allowed on that sports field. The project is located along Oak Park Boulevard, adjacent to Pismo Beach and the Arroyo Grande city limits, east of Highway 101. It is in the rural lands land use category on our county jurisdiction. Here we have the area of the project site. The green area is what was approved under Phase 0, which is the current campus they have today. So this site has quite the history. I'm going to just briefly outline the major events. Back in 79, there was a conditional use permit approved for the site, for a school on this site. And by the 80s, the site was graded, but because there was no structures, the permit expired. The site was originally part of the Los Robles del Mar specific plan, which would have provided for services to the school through annexation. However, in 2008, the LAFCO denied the annexation and resulted in the school getting their sewer tie-in from the city of Pismo Beach and also going through a county plan general, a county general plan amendment to use on-site well for their water source. So around the same time with the general plan amendment, the school applied for a new conditional use permit for a private school. Now, this is the original conditional use permit that the applicant is currently requesting amendments to. This 2008 CUP has stipulated 8 phases over a 12-year period, a maximum of 600 students with a 50 staff operational capacity, had several structures totaling almost 86,000 square feet, granted height exception up to 40 feet for 2 buildings, and a total of 15.74 acres of site disturbance. A year later in 2012, the school was approved or granted an amendment to their CUP to allow for interim phase zero, which was proposed to be a temporary campus to house the equivalent of the phase one capacity, which is 200 students and 20 staff. This temporary campus is conditioned to be removed in 10 years or upon the completion of the phase one of the permanent campus. That 10-year limit will sunset next year in November 2022. Over the last 10 years, the school has faced increasing operational demands and has partially satisfied the conditions of approval, namely all the frontage improvements that we see along Oak Park today. So unfortunately, sometime in 2015 wet season, there was a mudslide event that caused some damage on the property. And here I tried to outline the area that is in blue that was affected by the mudslide damage. And so since then, there has been temporary fixes that completed to stabilize the drainage basin, and we have ongoing stormwater monitoring and also a requirement that is submit permanent drainage repair work, lack for a better word, called the big fix prior to the occupancy of the new school building. And that is in condition number 70 and 77 in the Exhibit B. So then in 2020, last year, during the COVID, the applicants submitted a new conditional use permit to amend their school campus and some of the conditions of the original permit. And here's a summary table of the requested amendments in comparison to the original approved project. I will discuss the specific conditions that are affected by these modifications later, but now for a quick summary, the applicant is requesting to remove all phases and the associated time limits, requesting that phase zero, the existing structures, to be used permanently. They are consolidating 14 structures into one multipurpose building. They're proposing a reduction of almost 29,000 square feet of structural floor areas. They're reducing approximately 6 acres of site disturbance and 62,000 cubic yards of cut with this amended campus. The revised campus also provides all the required 105 new parking spaces with bike racks, and it maintains the maximum operational capacity and the granted height exception. Other changes requested are allowance for the nighttime lighting and turf on the sports field, and also removing the need for the secondary access to reflect the updated fire code. So on the left is a small site plan showing the original campus with all 8 phases. The larger site plan on the right shows the revised consolidated campus with one multipurpose building, the sports field, located north of the existing structures and campus. Here's a colored landscape plan. It kind of outlines the ball field, the multipurpose, and the new parking lot better. So to better contextualize the school, here's an aerial image of the original multi-phase campus site plan located in proximity to the adjacent city limits. Using the same image, here's the proposed amended site plan with the existing phase zero, the existing campus located on the southern portion of the site and the amended consolidated campus on the northern portion. Here's the artist's impression of how the multi-purpose building looks like. Some floor plans and the elevations of the new structure. So now I'm going to discuss the specific conditions that will be affected by the requested modifications. So condition 1A to F. This condition outlines the various phases, the construction details, operational capacity, time limits, including the removal for the temporary campus. So because the revised changes to the school campus, it shows that it results in lesser site disturbance, lesser square footage, and presents no change to the operational capacity and site amenities, staff recommends condition A1AF to be revised accordingly and to allow the existing modular structures to be used as a permanent campus. Condition 2 is a simple cleanup, just to delete the gymnasium and reflect the single multi-purpose building. Condition 7C, the original condition specifically prohibited turf to be used on the sports field. So this prohibition was primarily driven by water concerns at that time. So during the 2008 environmental review, the hydrogeologic analysis found that the well has adequate supply to meet the school's demand. Drawing will not cause significant impacts to the shallow aquifer and also will not interfere with the municipal wells in the deeper aquifer. One potential impact identified during the environmental review was from a possible assignment of the well water to municipal use, because that could mean unlimited draw. So as the mitigation, the school was required to execute a restrictive covenant that precluded municipal use of the on-site well, and that was completed. That agreement has been completed. And then with the introduction of turf, the total water demand will be 28,000 gallons per day. According to the 2021 water systems report that was prepared for the small public water system application to environmental health, the water engineer concluded that with the additional school-initiated water restriction measures in the event of a drought, and also with the current well production rate, there is adequate water for both domestic and irrigation demands. So in reviewing this modification request, staff considered that the revised site plan, it has reduced the overall landscaping areas. There is the reason the Model Water Efficiency Landscape Ordinance, the WELO, which requires a higher water efficiency standards for landscaping. And also we have the increasing water saving requirements required by today's building code. So based on all these factors, staff recommends that turf to be allowed only on the sports field and condition 7C be expanded to include current water savings requirements and best management practices. The next condition, 8, the original condition specifically prohibit nighttime lighting of the sports field. So the 2008 environmental review found there was some level of light and glare impacts that will come from the general exterior lighting of the school. And so because of that, an exterior lighting plan will be required at the time of construction permit. This was the original condition of the 2008 permit. So the new layout, which was shown a couple of slides ago, consolidated the several play areas and all the structures into one multi-use sports field and building. The sports field is now located further away from the residential areas. And then in terms of technology, newer ball field lighting systems today, they are more sophisticated and have less outward glow. this, given the school's proximity to the edge of the commercial areas, staff recommends that nighttime lighting to be allowed up to 10 p.m., supplemented with a comprehensive sports field lighting plan that will be required at the time of construction permit. And that has been added to the revised condition 8 in Exhibit B. Staff also reached out to the neighboring resident who brought in her concerns. She is satisfied with the 10 p.m. time limit set for the ball field lighting. Lastly, condition 43 to 53. These will need to be revised because they outline specific requirements for each phase, including the need for secondary access, total parking areas, and the traffic signal warrant study. So recently, CAL FIRE updated the code and eliminated the need for secondary access because the site design, as proposed, has adequate road length for parcels larger than 20 acres. For the parking, Phase Zero, the temporary campus, is fully sufficient in terms of the meeting their parking needs. And for the new multipurpose building, they're providing 105 spaces, more than what is required by ordinance. As for the traffic warrants, traffic signal study, even though they were actually required at Phase Three, which is at the maximum operational capacity, the applicant recently completed analysis, which modeled the 600 students and 50 staff capacity with a 2% growth along Oak Park Boulevard traffic. The study found no signalization is needed and recommends another updated study when enrollment reaches 550 students. So based on all the submitted information, staff recommends condition 43-253 to be revised accordingly to reflect the changes and updated requirements. There are a few expressed concerns regarding this project, namely noise and drainage. So according to the 2008 environmental review, the noise study found that the average sound level at the southern boundary, which is closest to the residential area, will be approximately 56 dBA. The county noise standards, it allows up to 50 dBA during daytime hours, which is from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And school activities are exempted from noise standards per the county ordinance. The school is also conditioned to operate from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Furthermore, with the revised site plan, the single building and sports field are proposed further away from the residences along the southern boundary. So based on these reasons, the noise impacts from the revised campus should not be more severe than what was previously analyzed in the previous environmental review. To address the drainage concern, there is an existing code enforcement case. It is open right now, and it requires ongoing stormwater management and monitoring reporting. The interim stabilization measures since the mudslide event has been completed, and this project is conditioned to complete the permanent drainage repair prior to the occupancy of the new structures. That's called the Big Fix. That is the condition number 70, and also it is repeated in condition 77 under public works requirements. The last three slides is a summary table of conditions that requires external agency approvals prior to construction. And I'm just going to briefly go through that to give you an update on these conditions. Condition number 3 requires an outside user agreement through LAFCO for sewer tie-in and fire suppression water tie-in. The sewer tie-in is already in place. The fire suppression water tie-in is currently under review with the City of Pismo Beach. And if the tie-in is granted, this will reduce the additional water demand on the on-site well. Condition 4 required the school to submit an application to Environmental Health to establish a small public water company, and that application has been turned in June 2020. Condition 9, it requires a final review and a coordination with CAL FIRE, and the applicant has obtained the most recent fire safety plan from CAL FIRE in September 2020. Condition 15 requires the applicant to execute a restrictive covenant precluding the municipal use of the well water, and this has been completed. Condition 16 and condition 44 to 46, these are conditions for frontage improvements, and they have been completed. Condition 52, this is a revised condition that will require an updated signal warrants analysis when the school reaches the enrollment of 550 students. If warranted, signal installations will be subject to County Public Works and the City of Pismo Beach for review and approval. Lastly, condition 55, it stipulates the long-term and coordination, long-term coordination and approvals needed from various agencies, some of which has been satisfied to date. So based on all this information, staff is recommending your commission to adopt the addendum to the mitigated negative declaration originally prepared for the project and approve this conditional use permit amendment, DRC 2021-00144, based on the findings in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. This concludes my presentation. The applicant's team is online. I believe they will give a short presentation and available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Shani. Before we get the applicant's presentation, are there any questions for staff at this time?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have just two, and I think they're clarifications and not discussions. First of all, Shani, I want to thank you for this presentation. This was an excellent, well-prepared presentation. You covered the analysis, the before and the after, you know, what success and the future will look like. And I just want to say, Alexandria, this is a good model here, and we really appreciate that. Shani, I wanted to ask you, one of the conditions for approval is moving forward is to keep the modular buildings, and there's language in the analysis that talks about them being retrofitted for permanent usage. And there's no details about that, but it just says according to the California Building Code. But then when I look further, excuse me, on Exhibit B, I think it's around item 1 and then I, little 2. It doesn't talk about those modifications. It just talks about continual use. So I wonder if it would be good to clarify that those modifications are required in the conditions of approval.
Can I please ask, could you help me orientate to which specific item you're referring to that you need clarification language added to?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry. So when I'm looking at the page 9 of the CUP, it talks about under amended conditions, condition 1, it talks about allowing the permanent use of the modular structures but be retrofitted for permanent usage. Pursuant to California Building Code. But then if I flip forward to attachment to Exhibit B, which is the conditions of approval, it talks about the continued use of those buildings, but it doesn't specifically mention the modification for permanent use. And I just think that should be clarified in the conditions of approval, that they would have to be modified at some stage according to California Building Code, whatever that is.
I see. Yes, I think that's a good eye. I will, yes, condition 1AB. That is correct. The language there right now is calling out as allowed continued use for phase zero as permanent campus. Yes, we can add clarification to point 1B that they would need to be retrofitted to for permanent use per today's building code.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And then, let's see, there was... I had one other question, and now it's gone, so I think I'll just leave it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Anybody else have any questions at this stage? Okay, then we're going to open up the public hearing, and we start traditionally with the applicant or the applicant's representative. Is there, Daniela or Ramona, there's an announcement about how people could comment on this. Do you want to say that at this time?
Sure. If there are members of the public that wish to speak on this hearing item, please use the raised hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you are joining via telephone. And we do have Carol Florence joining us, and she will have a PowerPoint presentation. Go ahead, Ms. Florence.
Thank you very much. Carol?
Thank you so much. Hopefully you can see my screen, and I've turned on my video, but if you don't want to look at me, I'm more than happy to turn it off.
I think it'll be fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Moltari. Nice to see you, members of the commission. I am Carol Florence, the principal planner of Oasis Associates, proudly representing the applicant this morning, Coastal Christian School, and the proposed project, a multi-purpose building including additional classrooms, gymnasium, administration, small kitchen facility, locker room, and music room. Before I start my presentation, I want to acknowledge Shawnee's work effort on this project, as it was a Herculean task to absorb its history and our current amendment request and present it to the commission in a straightforward, concise, yet detailed manner. Thank you, Shawnee. I appreciate working with you. As the commission knows, it takes a tremendous amount of effort and contributions from a variety of people to develop any project. And with that said, I want to introduce the applicants team that consists of the board of directors, as noted. You will be hearing briefly from the board president, Ted Malley, at the conclusion of my presentation, while Tom Dobbins, director of advancement, and head of school, Tom Olmsted, are also on the call should they need to address the commission's questions. I would just also note our local professional design and environmental team members who have contributed to a well-researched, sustainably designed, and functional building and surrounds. Their respective areas of expertise and experience continue to be a valued asset to the project. This morning, I am respectfully requesting that the Commission approve staff's recommendation, adopt the addendum ED21-090 to the mitigated negative declaration originally prepared for DRC 2008-00021 and approve conditional use permit DRC 2020-00144 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A, and the 79 conditions of approval in Exhibit B, which we agree to. Shawnee went over a bit of the conditions of approval, and I'll just do this simply to say to the commission that we have, obviously these were carried forward from the original conditional use permit, and just wanted to emphasize the fact that what you see on the screen have been completed to date, and they range anywhere from the design permitting and construction of phase zero and the offsite improvements to recordation of the open space easement to our current agreement with the City of Pismo Beach for sewer service, and finally to the creation of the small water company, which we have been working under the guidance of the county's environmental health department since last summer. At this juncture, I just wanted to respond to Commissioner Henry's comments regarding phase zero and the definition of permanency. I have reached out to the building department, unfortunately unsuccessfully, to attempt to define what that means. I believe that the phase zero modular structures are currently permanent. They're on proper foundations. They also have dedicated fire risers to each and every unit separately. So I look forward to working again with the building department to finalize that particular aspect. But thank you again, Commissioner Henry, for catching that as well. We lovingly say that Coastal Christian Schools have been wandering in the wilderness for over 40 years, but like the Israelites, God brought small victories to Coastal Christian School when needed to. I just wanted to cite a few of those miracles for you. One might ask about the status of the noted mudslide, but we have nonetheless responded to that catastrophic event with expediency, knowledge, and a continued commitment for its resolution, working directly with our technical experts, the building department, and other agencies. The phase one permanent mitigation, which we call Big Fix One, has been constructed, and we are working toward completion of Big Fix Two and the permanent construction of that. And we are hoping to have Big Fix, if you will, soon in our rearview mirror. While the pandemic wreaked havoc worldwide, with the help of the county and specifically Dr. Penny Bornstein and CAO Wade Horton, Coastal Christian applied for and received a waiver to open school on September 1st, 2020, based on some very, very detailed and expensive protocols. But I'm happy to report that the parents, teachers, and students have all willingly adhered to the requirements with absolutely excellent results. And lastly, I do want to commend my clients for taking the long view in reassessing a decades-old school design and wanting to bring it and its educational methodologies forward into the 21st century. This was no small feat for a small nonprofit school, but accomplished by the focus and hard work of many who support Coastal Christian School. These next few slides portray the proposed project from a number of perspectives. The first is, again, you've seen this in the context of the surrounding neighborhoods, City of Rio Grande here, City of Pismo Beach here, which lies to the south, and it's elevated slightly above the campus itself. This next slide is a bird's eye view of the existing campus and its relationship to the proposed campus. And I'll just have you note these water tanks because they'll show up again in another slide. You can see here this is the City of Pismo Beach and the single-family residences. They sit quite a bit higher than the campus itself. Again, I noted earlier slide that the off-site improvements were completed. That means two points of egress, one point of ingress, and the improvements to North Oak Park Road. As Shawnee noted, in 2011, a conditional use permit was approved for a campus design that included 14 buildings as depicted here, which we have now consolidated into our proposed multi-purpose classroom building, noted here. And this is the existing campus. So in doing so, we believe we have minimized both environmental and technical impacts to the site and to the building. This slide depicts the proposed site plan, and I'm just noting we took a section line here. Again, here's North Oak Park and the existing campus. As you know, the site is not flat, but we've attempted to work with the existing and previously modified topography to create a pad for the proposed multi-purpose building and another pad for the sports fields. These intervening slopes between the pads provide an opportunity for robust plantings of California native and drought-tolerant vegetation, including additional oak trees. Again, for reference, here are those water tanks here, again, in plan here. In closing, and on behalf of everyone who has contributed to the success of this project, thank you. I also want to thank the Commission for your thoughtful deliberation and ultimate adoption of the MND addendum and the approval of CEP DRC 2020-00144. We would like an opportunity to address the Commission's questions and make any final statements prior to the close of the public portion of the hearing. And with that said, I will now turn the presentation over to Ted Malley.
Okay, Mr. Malley.
Thank you, Carol, and good morning, Planning and Commission. My name is Ted Malley, and my wife Penny and I decided to put all four of our children into Coastal Christian School 7 years ago. I've been serving on the board for six and have served as board president for the past 2 years. And I wanted to just convey the importance of a healthy and thriving school as an essential part of our community. And again, ask for your support of our efforts to develop and grow our school as a vital part of this healthy and thriving community overall on the Central Coast. Our students regularly participate in community service, including frequent beach cleanups and placing flags on the graves of veterans on Memorial Day. This fall, as Carol mentioned, marks our 50th anniversary at CCS, and we're excited to celebrate God's faithfulness over five decades. And if there's one thing we've all learned this past year, having our children on campus with their teachers and their friends is vital to their mental and emotional and spiritual well-being. And under the county's waiver, CCS was the first K through 12 school to safely and fully open in the fall last year, providing in-person education the entire academic year. Our performing arts program enjoyed an outdoor Christmas musical and finished the year by opening up the Clark Center in AG by performing Mary Poppins, proving that a spoonful of sugar really does help the medicine go down. And while we've all grown due to COVID, our numbers continue to grow into this fall as well. We're opening an additional campus at a nearby church to accommodate our growth until our multi-purpose building can be built. And so our goal in building this facility is not only for ourselves, but we plan on hosting sports tournaments, community events, and other activities as we help service the need for community-wide gyms and larger meeting spaces. Our community has shown with almost 800 signatures that they are fully behind our efforts. And so thanks again for your consideration and support of our efforts. I'll yield my time.
Thank you, Mr. Malley. Is there anybody else from the applicant's team that would want to speak at this time?
No, Chair, we would just have a couple other members, Headmaster as well. Headmaster, and who else do we have with us?
The advancement person.
Yes, we have two other people, but they can specifically address any of the comments, and so I would defer to them if need be.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you both. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the public hearing portion. So if there's anyone who would like to comment on this item for the Planning Commission, this is the time to do so. Daniela, do we have any pre-recorded?
Yes, Chairman Moltari, we do have pre-recorded messages. And like the chair mentioned, if you would like to speak on this hearing item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing *9 to be called.
Hello, my name is Melanie Borum. That's spelled M-E-L-A-N-I-E, Borum, B-O-R-U-M. And I am calling in support of Coastal Christian School's CUP Amendment, DRC 2020-00144. The Planning Commission agenda item is number 4, and the Planning Commission hearing is set for June 10th, 2021. My name, I am calling, I am the second. This is my second year to go into teaching at Coastal Christian as a theater teacher. I'm also the performing arts director at Coastal Christian. I want to voice my support for the campus expansion because my goal and objective is to provide first and foremost a faith-based, individualized, and comprehensive education to my students. However, we are growing and our school has the need for junior and high school classrooms and other important amenities to be able to be successful. Currently, I've been teaching my theater classes in an outdoor alleyway on campus. My classes involve choreography and a lot of movement. The campus expansion would ultimately provide theater students with the proper space to learn, rehearse, and perform their performing arts material. Thank you so much for your consideration and your vote of approval.
I am Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Tally, T-A-L-L-E-Y, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, and I'm letting you know I'm calling in support of Coastal Christian School CUP Amendment DRC 2020-00144. The Planning Commission agenda item is number 4, and it will be meeting on June 10th, 2021. The Planning Commission hearing will be held then. I am a past board member, and I was a widow at the time with 2 sons that went almost totally to Coastal Christian School, Todd and Ryan Talley. And they went on after graduation to UC Berkeley and another one to Purdue University. And they are now excellent husbands, fathers, leaders in our local community and church and in the business Talley Farms. I highly recommend that you consider the mission that we have, the partners with parents in preparing students to serve God by providing excellence in their spiritual, academic, social, and physical aspects of their education. And we hope that you, too, will become a partner to support our request. We thank you for your consideration of supporting this outstanding school in your community that is raising citizens for tomorrow. It's a hope of our future. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Robert Miller, and I'm calling in support of the Coastal Christian School CUP Amendment DRC 2020-00144. Planning Commission agenda is number 4. And I'm calling to say that I am a parent or grandparent of a graduate. Graduate's name is Devin Miller, and he was went through the high school. It currently is has graduated and is 4 years past graduation time. He is very involved in the local community, speaking in front of the county board of supervisors at different times on different things that are involved with him. And I'm calling to support to expand the campus. We'll have great meaning for its current and future student body. And I thank you for caring for the youth of our community. Again, Robert Miller, R-O-B-E-R-T-M-I-L-L-E-R. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Tom Dobbins, D-O-B-Y-N-S. I'm calling in support of Coastal Christian School, the amendment for the conditional use permit. It is item agenda number 4, and it is for June 10th, 2021, that Planning Commission hearing. Hi, my name is Tom Dobbin.
Hello, my name is Jim Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N, and I'm calling to let you know I'm in support of Coastal Christian School CUP amendment, and the number is DRC 2020-00144. And this is regarding the Planning Commission agenda item number 4 for the June 10th Planning Commission hearing. So my name is Jim Erickson, like I mentioned, and I'm a teacher at Coastal Christian School. I've been teaching there for 14 years. And I'm in favor of our proposed campus expansion. Our school is growing rapidly, and we need additional classrooms for our junior high and senior high programs, as well as a multi-purpose gymnasium for our sports programs. And these facilities are essential. They're necessary for our continued success in the Five Cities area. So I'd like to thank you for your consideration and approval of this CUP amendment. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Holly Layton. My first name is H-O-L-L-Y. My last name is L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N. I'm calling in support of Coastal Christian School CUP amendment. It is DRC 2020-00144. It is Planning Commission agenda item number 4, and the hearing for the Planning Commission will be tomorrow, June 10th. So I am a parent of 2 current students at Coastal Christian School. They have attended since kindergarten, and they're both currently in high school. My other child just graduated Coastal Christian School last year, and she attended all her years kindergarten through grade 12. So as you can imagine, the school holds a very special place in our family and among other families in the community, and we would really love your support to continue growing the campus. It's done a lot of great things for the community. The students have served the community as well over the years, and we appreciate anything you can do to help us grow and to build our gym. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
My name is Christine Nunez, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, last name N-U-N-E-Z. I am calling in support of Coastal Christian School CUP Amendment DRC 2020-00144. This is the Planning Commission agenda item number 4 for the June 10th, 2021 Planning Commission hearing. I am a parent of one student at Coastal Christian School. Coastal Christian School holds a special place in our family and in this community. Your support to expand the campus will have great meaning for its current and future student body. Thank you for caring for the youth in our community.
Chair Moultari, that concludes the pre-recorded messages, and I will now turn to members of the public that wish to speak on this hearing item. We do have a request from Mr. Tom Dobbins, and I believe that he did leave a pre-recorded message, so I will look to County Council for their advice on testimony already submitted.
I think he his message got cut off, I think. But
okay.
And Chair's prerogative on that one.
Yeah, let's certainly Mr. Dobbins can speak to us.
Okay, very good. Mr. Dobbins, you will receive a notification from the host, and your line has been unmuted.
Okay, and you can hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm sorry, I don't know what happened there. I just wanted to say I'm the retired CEO of Mission Community Bank. And 3 years ago, I was called into a divine assignment as the director of advancement to help the school build out their permanent campus on the land they were given over 40 years ago. I've considered it an honor to participate in this effort, and especially for such an exciting time as we have now. You know, the word right in the middle of my bank's name, community, it was a special place that we served. And so it is with Coastal Christian School. It's a member of our community. It serves an important need, especially during these uncertain times. We cherish the Central Coast, the place we call home. It's a special place because we care for each other. We help each other. And Coastal Christian School has been educating kids for a half century right here in our own community. And so I encourage each of you on the Planning Commission, serving our community in your special way, to approve the conditional use permit here this morning. Our goal is, long after each of us is gone, to have an educational institution as a beacon of light on the hill. Thanks to each of you for helping us make this a reality. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman Moultari, that concludes the request to speak.
Okay. Since there's no one else lined up to speak, I'll close the public hearing, return it to the commissioners. Any questions, discussion?
I do have one question. The the noise issue came up, and I hadn't heard anything about like amplified sound outside. I know the lighting is allowed until 10 p.m. What are the guidelines on sound or amplified sound at a certain point?
Shani, do you have any comments on that?
I have to refer to county council on this because we do have a noise standards that specify certain DBA, like the noise levels and thresholds, but I am uncertain about any specifics for amplified sound.
Okay. John Zalber, county council, my understanding is that with respect to schools and sports facilities like this that are for a school, that they are exempt under for those sound requirements, the 50 or the 70.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So but certainly the commission, if the commission's concerned about that, they can impose conditions of approval.
Okay. Any other questions or comments then? Mr. Henry, I see you kind of look anxiously at me.
Not anxiously, no. I'm never anxious. I was a mission controller for too many years to be anxious. I just wanted to have a little bit of clarity and discussion around this, the problem with the mudslide that happened in 2015 and then the mitigation that's underway, the so-called big fix and all its iterations. And I'm a little confused, and maybe staff can comment on the – so I see that that fix has to be completed and approved before occupation can take place in the new building. But I do understand, and I don't have the details and apologize for not having done more research. There's apparently some of the delay is because there's a tie-up and some lawsuits, and I don't know the – and we probably can't discuss the details of those, but I guess the question is, given that these are conditions that were brought in by code enforcement, then it's also, you know, obviously tied to the success of this project. What role the county can play or has to stay out of in terms of brokering a solution where all parties may not be approaching in good faith and just delaying for the purposes of delaying? If my question makes sense, I see you popped up, Joan. Thanks.
Sure. The lawsuits are personal injury lawsuits. So, I mean, in terms of fixing it, there's not really much of a relationship between the two, except that we are not. Sorry, I don't know. They're not personal injury. They're property damage lawsuits. And so there's not too much in terms of, you know, putting things on delay or hold. Because of those lawsuits, my understanding is that there is active code enforcement from the stormwater standpoint. They are working through it. It's just a matter of, you know, generating design and getting the funds to actually construct the improvements. And so I think what you see before you with the conditions of approval is requiring the big fix prior to the occupancy of the big building. But my understanding is that, you know, through the process, both the school and Public Works Stormwater team have been kind of going through and installing the fixes as they could, and it's all been satisfactory.
So, thank you, John. If I were to play that back, then lawsuits aside are more or less irrelevant in terms of the progress made. That progress is in the hands of the applicant and the county collectively, and so in their own hands, and the progress is really up to them.
Exactly.
Very good. Thank you.
Ms. Florence, I see that you've raised your hand. Did you want to respond to that question?
I wanted to thank you, Chair. I wanted to assure the commission that since the incident, Coastal Christian School has hired, before my time even, the best and the brightest, if you will, technical and environmental consultants to assist them with this. And we have successfully stabilized the situation. Just last year, we completed phase one of Big Fix. If you can realize, there's an upper basin, a middle basin, and a lower basin, and then there's Oak Park. We completed the permanent mitigation for the middle basin to the lower basin, which had everything to do with headwalls and culverts, et cetera. So that is a permanent fix. Phase two, if you will, a big fix from the upper basin, and much of this damage is actually on the adjacent property. So we have been working closely with the adjacent property owner because we obviously need permission from him to do certain things. We have been under design for a while, and although these are two separate projects, if you will, the amended CUP and Big Fix 2, the dirt work, if you will, has a direct relationship to each other. So we will be utilizing dirt from the new project to mitigate phase two, if you will, of Big Fix. So there are lots, if you will, of cooks in that kitchen, as you can imagine, not only the assistance of your planning and building and public works department, but other state and federal agencies. And we have been working well with everyone at this point, and I think pulling the oars, if you will, in the same direction to resolve what was truly a catastrophic event that luckily went right around the kindergarten play yard and buildings, only by the grace of God, no doubt. So we are actively working on it. We're pleased that we've gone through a couple of winters, almost three now, actually, and have been constantly monitoring that to make certain that it's stable. And we do have great plans and a great group of professionals helping us with that. So we are looking forward to that absolutely being in our rear view mirror and moving on to the things that Coastal Christian does best, and that's teaching young Christian children. Thank you for the opportunity to explain that, but we are well into permanent fixes for that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay. Commissioners?
Mr. Chair, I would ask, I think there was some just some clarification language in the conditions of approval that I had suggested, and it really doesn't impose any burden on the applicant. It's simply saying that that when the time is relevant, that they'll be in compliance with California Building Code's regards to the maintenance and or perhaps retrofit of the existing structures. And I believe staff, so if I don't know if staff is prepared to show that language, and if the other commissioners would be in favor of including that those changes.
Okay. Shawnee, do you have that now?
Yes, I do. And I can share, and I can bring up the revised language up on screen. Okay. So this is the revised Exhibit B. And so clarification language has been added to point 1B that says allow continued use of phase zero modular structures as a permanent campus for up to 200 students and 20 faculty staff, subject to retrofitting standards for permanent use pursuant to building code.
Okay. Address your concerns?
Yes, it does. As I say, I don't believe this imposes any undue burden on the applicant. It's just simply clarifying the language between the analysis and the conditional use conditions of approval. I'm happy with that. Thank you, Shawnee.
Thank you.
Welcome.
If there's no other commissioner comments, Commissioner Spearman, do you have anything that you'd like to add? If not, I have some comments. You're muted, by the way, Christina.
Thank you. I do not have any other comments. Please go ahead.
Okay. I have just a couple. One, Carol, just a clarification for you to consider, and maybe I just didn't see it. I was looking at your plans, and there's quite a big, as you know, a huge grade difference from the new multi-purpose park area in the parking lot and the sports fields, but I didn't see how students were going to get to it. I didn't see a stairway or a pathway other than the kind of the access road. So you might think about how students in the future really will go up to the sports field and design in something for them, and also if there is a need for ADA access to those sports fields.
Yes.
I did share Commissioner Villicana's concerns about noise at night. I grew up near a school and near a park with lighted fields at night, and frankly, I just got used to it, and I think that's part of what goes into living next to a school. So I think on balance, the new location is superior. I think the staff's conditions with regarding lighting is probably the best we can do if we're going to keep allow the fields to be lighted until 10 o'clock, which seems a bit late for me, but I'm not sure if that troubles any of the other commissioners. And the associated noise with those fields, you know, playing ball, soccer fields. The other thing, Carol, in that regard, is that when the parents come to watch their kids play, they have to get up that 30-foot grade difference. So you might want to think about how they're going to get up there and get into the stands and out. So that's a site design detail that I'm sure you'll work out.
Yeah.
The county a long time ago decided that this was a good location for a school and approved it, obviously, for that. I think the revised plans are superior to what was approved by the county previously, putting the multipurpose, consolidating the facilities into a multipurpose building, consolidating the parking lot, which really is a better design, and moving the sports fields farther away from the homes is a good move as well. The site is awfully chewed up as it is, so I think the grading that's proposed doesn't have any significant environmental consequences that haven't been addressed by the mitigations or the conditions. My only concern really was with the hours of lighting and associated activities going till 10 o'clock at night. So I'd see if any of the other commissioners are concerned about that. We haven't heard from the neighbors other than that one letter in that regard, so it doesn't seem to be a huge concern. So those are really my comments on that, and I'm glad that the drainage problem is going to be addressed. It seems like that's a pretty serious issue, but I'm satisfied that the conditions, for my part, will take that into account. Anything else?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just would say I appreciate your concerns and also those of Commissioner Villicana regarding the light and the noise. I think in particular with the light, with new technologies and the conditions, it's well conditioned, and I can't see that being a nuisance, certainly not within the context of what we live with today. Right. Noise, 10 o'clock, that may be a bit late, but if you put it in the context of a multi-grade up to high school level, and in the context of having potentially high school football games, then we do see those in other schools in the area that can run to 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So, as you say, it's part of the joy of living near a school. And I would also say as a parent that some of that joy is just hearing the kids playing and having a good time and being raucous and being kids and learning and growing up. So I would, with respect to the neighbors and the other commissioners' views, I am in support of this project.
Okay.
Commissioner Moltari, if the rest of the gentlemen would agree, I would like to move for a motion.
Yeah, has everybody done with their comments and questions? Then sure, if you'd like make a motion, go right ahead.
Thank you. I'd also like to add that it's always a joy to serve with you gentlemen. You always bring up these points that are just trying to make the project better. And it's also lovely to see a project like this that I think, as a parent, helps the students, the teachers and the faculty and the community. So with that, I make a motion to adopt the addendum ED21-090 to revise the declaration mitigate negative declaration ED08078, originally prepared for DRC 2008-00021, and to approve the revised conditional use permit DRC 2020-00144 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and revised conditions in listed in Exhibit B.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
Sure, I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you. There's been a motion and a second. Is there any comment on the motion? Any questions? Okay. Can we have a roll call?
Commissioner Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Henry?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
And Chairman Moltari?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. Good luck. Okay. That brings us to our second item of the hearing item of the day. Could we have that introduced, please, Ramona?
Hearing item number 5 is a hearing to consider a request by Morro Shores Mobile Home Park, LLC, for a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC 2020-00203, Supervisorial District Number 2, Carrie Brown, Project Manager. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or press star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do this at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. Brown. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramona. Carrie, before you start, I'm going to ask the commissioners if they have any ex parte communications they'd wish to announce. Mine was I've been to the site and toured the mobile home park, but I didn't speak with anyone.
Okay. I did have a brief conversation with Nairi Ashajin, the applicant, one of the consultants for the applicant, and just a brief conversation about the project.
Okay. Anyone else?
I did correspond with Nairi Ashajin regarding the project, and then on the 8th of June, I visited the project site, and one of the managers, Ms. Lisa Raines, actually came out and introduced herself, but we didn't have much of a conversation.
Okay.
And Commissioner, I drove by the site, but I did not speak to anyone.
Okay. We have announced our ex parte communications, and so, Carrie, we'll turn it over to you.
Good morning, Planning Commission. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. This is a development plan, coastal development permit, proposed by Morro Shores. The project is to allow 10 new mobile home units to an existing 164-unit mobile home park. The Morro Shores Mobile Home Park. The project also includes the following amenities: a new dog park, putting green, shade structure, and seating areas. The existing mobile home park consists of 164 mobile homes and associated improvements. The project will result in a disturbance of approximately 75,000 square feet of a 30-acre parcel. The project is in the community of Los Osos and is located on Ramona Avenue, and it's just south of Sweet Springs Nature Preserve. The site is in the residential single-family land use category. And the next few slides, I'm just going to show you some aerials. This is an aerial of the site. And this is a close-up portion of the area proposed for the new units. Four units are proposed in this area, along with the dog park and putting green. And six units are proposed for this area. And then this is where there'll be some improvements to emergency access. This slide shows the existing conditions. of the site. These are areas right now are vacant or undeveloped. And this is a project overview showing the proposed units. Here are the four and the amenities. And then here are the six units here. And then the proposed improved emergency access down in this location. This is a floor plan of option one of the mobile homes. There are a couple different options. And here is option B for the mobile home units. And this is an elevation. The elevations of option A and option B. And here we have the grading and drainage plans for the proposed project. And this is the proposed landscape plan, which also shows the putting green and shade areas. I'm going to just show you a couple slides, a couple of photos of the site. Here's the entrance of Morrow Shores. There's another view looking at it from Ramona. This is area proposed for the new mobile home units. Another area, another look of that. And here is another vantage point of these areas that are proposed for new mobile home development. This is looking at the site from broader sense, so kind of like a side view. We have received some correspondence from the residents of the park. The residents are concerned about the addition of 10 new units. The concerns are related to water resources and in Los Osos, the applicant is required to offset all their new water demand by retrofitting existing residences. They are also concerned about the loss of open space. And this mobile home park is located across from Sweet Springs and enjoys much open space around the park. The residents are also concerned about the loss of views, and the Morrow Shores Mobile Home Park eliminated any of the trees that could have the potential to block views, and so the landscape plan was revised to ensure that the loss of views is minimized. Concerns were also raised about the potential for increased costs for utilities. The will serve for the sewer, Los Osos sewer, does require additional funding for an increased capacity. We did receive other correspondence and other concerns were received, and they include the loss of habitat. The area proposed for the 10 new units was previously the septic system for the park. The area was grass until they stopped irrigating this area. We did require surveys for Morrow Shoulder Band Snail, and no Morrow Shoulder Band Snails were found and or potential habitat, so there was no habitat found in these areas. Excuse me. Concerns were also raised about the proposed categorical exemption from the California Environmental Quality Act. The environmental issues with this project were addressed by ordinance or conditions of approval, and this includes water resources, which, as I said, they're required to do retrofitting to offset their new water demand. Biological resources, we required biological surveys and did not detect any sensitive habitat or sensitive species. We also required archaeological resources survey, and no resources were found in that area also. There's a couple of revisions to the conditions that we would like to propose. We just found in condition number four, there was a citation that was incorrect for the CAL FIRE letter. Their letter is dated November 30th, 2020. So we'd like to make that change. And the applicant is requesting a revision to condition number 19, which is the retrofitting requirement. They would like to do half of the retrofitting prior to the notice to proceed, and then the remaining retrofitting prior to occupancy of the new units. And this was a timing issue for them. And with that, staff is recommending approval of the development plan, coastal development permit, DRC 2020-00203, based on the findings and listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Are there any questions for staff at this point?
If I may, I just had maybe an educational question for myself. Carrie, do the proposed structures fit into the affordable housing category?
They do not fit into the affordable housing category. They are smaller units, but they are not being restricted. The sales prices are not restricted in any way.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I do have one question regarding the homeowner concerns about the cost of utilities. And perhaps, Carrie, you could clarify. Is it not the case that the costs for additional capacity would be borne by the new structures and the new owners and not spread across all the residents of the existing homes?
You know, that would be my assumption, too, but I think the applicant should address that.
I think that would allay some concerns because that's I know for other projects that's how it tends to go, is that the newcomers bear the brunt of that connection cost, just like if you put in a water meter, that would not be borne by the community but by the actual consumers.
Okay, I think we'll come back to that after we hear from the applicant. It is 10:26. We usually take our break at 10:30. Do you want to take a 10-minute break and before we continue with the public hearing portion? Okay. I think then, ladies and gentlemen, we will take our morning break now, and we'll be back at, let's say, 10:40, and we'll resume. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we'll ask the staff and the commissioners to please mute your microphones. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's 10:40. We'll resume our meeting now. And
we left off at the start of public testimony, starting with the applicant's representatives. Daniela, do you want to make the announcement about how people can comment on this item?
Sure. Thank you, Chairman Moltari. If there are members of the public that wish to speak on this hearing item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9. And we do have the applicant's agent, Debbie Rudd, joining us, and she has a presentation.
Very good. Thank you very much. Debbie?
Good morning, Chair Moltari and commissioners. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, great. I'm Debbie Rudd with RRM Design Group. I'm here with Nairi Asajian, who is a project manager for the owner. And we're going to give you a short overview. And we'd also like to thank Carrie, our county planner, for all her hard work on this and guidance on this project. Though it's just a small little project, we've been working on it with her since 2018. So we've come a long way. So the project is located right off of Ramona. The primary entry is right off of Ramona, and you can see kind of the size and the context. It is an existing age-restricted park, so it's 55 years and older, and it has 164 homes, and we're adding these 10 new homes. We also are adding the new neighborhood amenities. And you can see the four homes on the left or west side of the screen, and then the other six homes on the east or right side of the screen. And the green area represents where we're putting the community neighborhood amenities. And as far as the lot size, the lots are about 3,000 square feet. And you can see that this lot is similar size for all these other lots. And the home size, they were expecting them to range between 1,200 and 1,500 square feet. Again, very similar to the other homes in the park. So with that,
hello everyone, I'm Nairi. So here's a close up of the units that will be going on the western boundary portion of the park and some of the amenities that we are proposing. And we'll just start with parking. So within the existing park, there are already 22 extra spaces. With the addition of these 10 new homes, we are required to provide 3 guest spaces, but we are proposing for 5 guest spaces, so that takes the new total up to 24 extra spaces park-wide. In terms of the amenities, we are adding a new dog park, shade structures, a rest area with tables and seating, a new putting green, which will be artificial turf, and then we will be improving the existing bocce ball courts. And then in terms of the landscaping, we had quite a bit of community feedback with our initial proposal, so we revised it and have removed any trees with potential to block views. There's a beautiful view of Morro Rock, and the owner is adamant to not obstruct any views whatsoever. So we removed any trees that could potentially block views, and we're being very, very selective with where the remaining proposed trees will be put. We're opting to do all drought-tolerant plant choices. Like I mentioned, the turf for the putting green will be artificial. However, at the request of the community, and I think it was in the LOCAC meeting, it was requested that we keep the grass real for the dogs to enjoy. So it will be real grass for the dogs for the dog park. And then, like I mentioned, we've received quite a bit of community feedback since the start of this project. Overall, you know, everybody understands that there's a dire housing crisis across the state. So there's a strong support for housing community-wide. I think one of the top concerns really always comes back to water use issues with this project. And we've taken that very seriously. So as I kind of touched on, we've done extensive landscaping revisions to significantly reduce the proposed water usage. So we initially had much more different types of plants and trees and you name it that use more water. So we went back and revised that to all drought-tolerant plants. We removed quite a bit of the proposed landscaping while keeping it consistent and still visually appealing with the rest of the park. And then we will be utilizing the county's retrofit program to meet our water offset requirement. The county determined, the management team determined that we are required to do a one-to-one offset. However, during the Los Osos Community Advisory Council meeting, it was strongly suggested and requested that we go above and beyond to a 2-to-1 water offset. So although the county is requiring 1-to-1, we took that information back to ownership and they agreed to voluntarily make it a water positive project and meet the 2-to-1 water offset ratio.
So we did listen to the residents' concerns and remove some of the trees, and then we strategically located the trees so that they wouldn't block any views from the residents that are existing today. We also heard from the residents that they wanted to have hard copies available so that they could look at the plans, and we provided those to the residents. We met with any residents who wanted to meet with us. We went to the Los Osos Community Advisory Council Land Use Committee 2 times. And then LOCAC 1 time, and that's LOCAC is where they at all three meetings they were concerned about water, and LOCAC is the one who requested the 2-to-1 offset that we have voluntarily decided to incorporate and now has been incorporated in the conditions.
Debbie, can I bug you to go back to the amenities slide for 1 second? I just forgot to mention on there, and you could point to it for me, but we've added a detention basin as well as permeable pavers in the parking spaces and driveways to address any sort of drainage issues. So this project will actually improve current conditions.
Yeah, and there, another thing on this slide that is good to see here is we have a 10-foot setback. So when you compare that with, there were some letters that talked about the landscaping. When you compare that 10-foot setback to the setback on some of these other homes, it's greater or equal to the other homes. So I really think that this will be providing a lot of nice landscaping in front of the homes.
So in terms of the county retrofit program, as soon as the owner agreed to do the 2-to-1 offset, we said, okay, we need to start surveying the residents because this is, it's a very detailed process. So we distributed a survey to all the residents in March to survey if they, A, are interested in participating, and B, if they qualify, because there's lots of details in terms of the year of their appliances and such, and if it can even qualify for the program. So the results are still trickling in. Per the request of LOCAC, we are exercising this retrofit opportunity within the park first so that the residents benefit from new appliances. Only if we are not able to identify enough interested and qualified people would we open it up to the Los Osos community at large. But with the way the results are trending, I think we'll probably be able to do 100% of the retrofit within the park. So results as of June 7th, 164 homes were surveyed. That's all of the homes. 152 responses were received, and 98 homes are interested in participating. The management team is fantastic. They're working, you know, going door to door to get the remaining responses and to help us identify who actually qualifies for the retrofit program. It has been brought to our attention that, you know, as Debbie mentioned, some of the letters of support and opposition, it seems that there are quite a few names that have been added to one letter, whether they're concerned or opposed to this project, but there's actually quite a bit of overlap with those who are opposed to the project, but also
interested in the retrofit program. So this is an added benefit to the residents, and we are hopeful to complete it 100% within the park. And then just some final thoughts. So like we mentioned, there will be no obstructed views with the trees. The four trees that do remain in our proposal, two of them are medium, two of them are large, and prior to placing them, it will be triple checked that no views are obstructed. We are under the current code code requirement for density. I think the current code is 8 dwelling units per acre, and we're proposing 5.8 dwelling units per acre. As we mentioned, we are providing extra parking. No parking is going to be taken away. If anything, we're replacing it, meeting the requirement, and adding extra. The park will be designed in terms of the homes, you know, and the landscaping consistent with the existing character. This was brought up earlier, and to clarify, because this is also some misinformation out there, there's no additional financial burden to existing residents. At all. It is going to be a water positive project, as we mentioned, with the 2-to-1 offset. As Debbie said, or I think Carrie mentioned it in her presentation, but we've received the green light from the county approved archaeologist and biologist, and we have a plan to move forward with that. And it is technically a smallish project. It's 10 units, so it's a small but hopefully meaningful dent in the housing crisis. So anything else, Debbie? I think that's it on our end, though, if anyone has questions.
Okay. Well, thank you both. Commissioners, any questions for the applicant's representatives at this time? I just have one. If you could clarify the concern of the residents is that the water company is going to require some upgrades. And this was brought up previously by Commissioner Henry. If that's required, how will that be paid for, and how are the existing residents not obligated to participate in those upgrades, or are they?
It's my understanding that the project has to provide all the infrastructure to moving forward. So that includes the improved emergency access route, that includes the improved drainage, the drainage improvements, and it includes any water infrastructure. So that would be borne by the project and by the property owner, not the existing residents.
Okay. Well, thank you. Any other questions at this stage? If not, I'm going to open it up to the general public for comments.
Commissioner Moltari, I think Commissioner Spearman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Thank you. A question in terms of the landscaping. I didn't see a landscaping plan in the background in terms of the listing of the types of plants that will be used, although you mentioned drought tolerant. And in the conditions, I did not notice that natives were selected as well, which, you know, just to stay in line with what we are doing. So, were those conditions, I guess, Carrie, maybe to you, were those conditions put in and I just did not see them, or am I missing something?
No, but we could modify the landscaping plan to include natives. They did propose the landscaping plan, and but we can modify it.
Okay. And on page L1 of your packet, there is a list of the landscaping. Yes, it is proposed to be drought tolerant and consistent with the other landscaping in the front of the park.
Yes, I do appreciate that, but I'd like to see the use of natives placed in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, So, Daniela, do we have any pre-recorded messages?
Yes, Chairman Moltari, we will begin with pre-recorded messages followed by live public comment. And just as a reminder to members of the public, if you wish to speak on this hearing item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing *9 if you are joining via telephone.
Hello, my name is Eve Gruntas. I live in Morro Shores Mobile Home Park in Los Osos. I'm calling regarding county file number DRC 2020-00203, Supervisorial District 2, Assessor Parcel Numbers 074-229-020, for the meeting on June 10th. Regarding Morro Shores. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my partner, Mark Weber. We are residents of Morro Shores Mobile Home Park, and we urge you not to approve the application for the 10 new homes in Morro Shores. Our most major concern is water. The ongoing persistent drought, saltwater intrusion, and nitrate contamination should restrict the park's ability to add more residents to the strained water basin. The three Los Osos water purveyors agree that the hundreds of residents in Los Osos that are not hooked up to the wastewater treatment plant must be hooked up before more growth can occur, because Cabrillo Estates, Bayview Heights, Vista de Oro, and all the other areas who are still on septic systems are poisoning our precious groundwater with nitrates from their septic tanks. And the Los Osos Basin Management Report for 2020 shows increased nitrates and worsening saltwater intrusion. Also, agricultural water users and others on wells should be required to monitor their water usage to help us understand public water use and quality before any additional homes are allowed to be built and draw on the groundwater aquifer. The Basin Management Committee and the Los Osos Sustainability Group are making strong cases that until Los Osos is confident that we have a safe and sustainable water supply, there should be no additional houses allowed. Seven other important reasons why you should not approve the 10 new homes in Morro Shores include the following. One, the loss of open space. Even though there will be replacement dog park and putting green, there will be significant reduction in the amount of open space we have enjoyed for decades. Two, the loss of view for several residents. New houses and trees will destroy the lovely views of Morro Rock and Hollister Peak that our neighbors enjoy. Three, traffic congestion. Already with 164 homes, many vehicles associated with contractors, gardeners, and friends are speeding unsafely through the park. 10 new homes will compound the hazardous situation. There will also be more traffic on Ramona Avenue, Binscarth, and other local streets that are already very busy. Loss of the garden field. The new homes will be large and will take up entire lots and won't allow space for landscaping that many of us enjoy now. New homes will give the park more of a barracks feel and less of a garden oasis feel. Five, parking. There will be at least 20 more older adults competing for very limited parking spots. Stormwater drainage, number six. The development plan goes into elaborate detail about permeable tiles to reduce the intensified urban rainfall runoff that the new rooftops and cement will cause, but the county is not concerned. The drainage at the lower end of the park already is at capacity, and in my letter, I've attached a YouTube video to show how the drainage system in the park was already strained by the January 27, 2021 rainstorm. Seven, unspecified utility increases. We will have to pay for the expensive utility upgrades while our service will not be improved. Growth never pays for itself, so we, as current residents, will have increases in our utility bill to cover the infrastructure development needs of the new residents. We are on fixed incomes and large increases in our utility bills to cover the cost of the water treatment plant and sewer infrastructure already have forced residents to move out of Morro Shores. The water purveyors are all on their record stating that they are concerned that the aquifer may not be able to sustain the existing Los Osos residents, so that that's the primary reason that you should deny the request for 10 additional homes until we know with certainty that our water supply is sustainable. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration of these issues.
Hi, this is Lindy Dowd, LINDIDOUD, representing the Los Osos Sustainability Group. My comment is in reference to item number 5 on the agenda for June 10th, 2021. The Lososo Sustainability Group is opposed to the approval of any more projects in Lososos that require water from our overdrafted water basin. Additional use only invites more seawater intrusion, deteriorating the basin even further. Moreover, the offsets proposed to address the project's water demand have not proven to be an effective measure for actually saving water. Approval of this project would be in violation of the 1976 Coastal Act that requires the preservation and protection of coastal resources, our water basin. The Coastal Commission agrees that the county may not approve new or expanded development on the basis of the current Title 19 retrofit program. The Lososo Sustainability Group has long pointed out the significant shortcomings of the county's Title 19 retrofit program in Lososos. More specifically, in email communications with the County Planning Department, the Lososo Sustainability Group has repeatedly argued that the retrofit program is based on demonstrably false and inaccurate metrics and assumptions, which exaggerate the actual benefits of the program. The county has acknowledged these serious shortcomings, and in fact, it is in the process of hiring a consultant to substantially revamp the program. The Lososo Sustainability Group strongly believes that the county's practice of approving new or expanded development in reliance on this program has resulted in a net increase in water demand in the basin. It would be prudent for the county to cease processing applications for all new water-dependent developments, including mobile homes in Lososos, until the Coastal Commission has approved the LOCP and the county has finished its re-evaluation of the retrofit program and updated its Title 19 ordinance through a public process. Finally, this project is not categorically exempt. CEQA's definition of a project requiring environmental review is an activity involving a public agency's discretionary issuance of a lease permit, license certificate, or other discretionary approval. This commission's approval is discretionary, and this project requires an environmental review. As discussed in the Lososos HCP and LCP, the entire Lososos area is considered ESHA, environmentally sensitive habitat. This project should be denied. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Brian Mealy, B-R-Y-A-N-M-E-A-L-Y. This is a hearing date, Thursday, June 10th, 2021. This is regarding a request by Morrow Shores Mobile Home Park, blah, 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 to add 10 new mobile home units to the existing park. I don't think this is appropriate. We've got many other issues in Lososos that are causing people in Lososos to have a hard time living here, particularly the increase in use of water and price of water. I would say deny this application. Thank you very much.
My name is Susan Belay, and I'm calling about the notice of public hearing tomorrow, 9 o'clock, about the mobile home park development. It's right next door. I like them very much. I have nothing against them putting in their mobile home, their dog park, their putting green, their shade structures, seating areas, nothing. They're lovely people. My only concern is that they have a line of trees right next to my home. They're probably 150 foot tall, honestly. The fire department said they are eucalyptus, and they are going to fall on my house and kill me, and that they need to be, an arborist needs to go over them and trim them or take them out. I really don't want them taken out, but just the branches that could, that are tons. And I feel like if they have that much money to do that much improvements, and they'll be getting, what, almost $15,000 a trailer spot a month, maybe they could do their trees, and then I would have absolutely no complaints and wish them well. Again, Susan Belay, phone number 805 441-4643, more than willing to email, send you a picture, do whatever I need so somebody can represent me and just say, I've already talked to the county. It's on Broderson. Broderson is divided in half, and they are to take care of it because it's been abandoned. They all go in circles over that, but I take care of my half. So I believe they should take care of their half since it's going to be detrimental to my future. Thank you so much. Hope you call me back. Thank you. Bye.
Very good. That concludes the pre-recorded messages. We will now turn to live public comment. The first request to speak is from Peter Candela. Mr. Candela, you will receive a notification that we are attempting to unmute your connection, and you will have to acknowledge that request. Mr. Candela, I am requesting to unmute your connection, and if you are joining us from your device, you will have to acknowledge and unmute your connection. Okay. There you go. Your line has been unmuted. And if you are listening the meeting via another device, if you could please lower that so there's the feedback is reduced. Okay. Very good. Please proceed with your comments.
Hi, my name is Peter Candela. I live at 633 Ramona, and I have been here for a couple of decades.
Mr. Candela, if you could please turn down the volume from the other device that you may be streaming the meeting from.
Okay, that's as low as I can get it.
That's okay. We can hear it.
Let me try this. Sorry.
It's actually getting worse, not better.
Is it still?
We can't hold the phone together.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you watching the viewing or streaming the meeting from two?
Yeah,
devices?
I am.
You should probably disconnect from the second streaming device, and then that will probably help with the feedback.
Okay. All right.
Take your phone.
Let me try. I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys.
Let me try this. All right. Is that better?
That's much better. Great. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Let me try. I'm on the move. As I was saying, I'm Peter Candela, and I live in 633 Ramona, Space 119. It's an incredible place to live. I'd hate to see our seniors, and we have seniors and super seniors, not just 55-year-olds, but we have 65, 75, and a handful of 90-year-olds. This is technically going to be their last, and I count that myself, a home that we are going to have. I hate to see it diminished, the quality of life, by adding an additionally 10 more mobile home parks. Eating up our spaces, taking care of our guest spots. I'm not sure where the additional parking is going to take place, but I didn't see it. Not to mention, because we're super seniors, we do have limited resources. So anytime there's a utility bill that's going to be increased, it has a dire effect on all of us. Being on fixed income, it's a big deal to us. We'd like to be able to keep our quality of life to the end of our life. And please keep in consideration that these are seniors and we need to protect us. We are a force of about 100 and 230 people. I would hope that that would be something that we can look at closely and make this all effective. I'm a little concerned too with the traffic. If we have to get out of our area quickly and we have an additional 20 cars on an existing multitude of cars we have already, I think it's going to be a difficult situation. I would hope that the council commissioners would look at that closely and deal with that traffic issue. There's only one exit that we can get out of here. So thank you so much for your patience, and I'm hoping that you would take a closer look on this and not pass it. Let's look a little more deeper in the implications that this is going to have on all of us, especially our seniors. Please look at our seniors. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next request to speak is from caller ending with the last three numbers of 067. You will receive a notification from Zoom that the host is requesting to unmute your connection, and you will have to acknowledge that request by pressing star 6 and unmuting your device. Okay, very good. Oh. So, again, caller with the last three numbers of 067, I am attempting to unmute your connection. And you will have to acknowledge that. And it looks like you were previously unmuted. So if you could please press star 6 to unmute your connection. Okay. Your line has been unmuted. And if you could please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Jean Howland. JeanHowland. I wanted to recap the letter that I sent to Ms. Ramona Hedges on June 8th regarding this project. In attachment number 4 of the staff report, notice of exemption to CEQA requirements for this project, I believe that the finding due to categorical exemption, section 15301, class 1, is incorrect. This CEQA section states, and I quote, that class 1 consists of the operation, repair, maintenance, permitting, leasing, licensing, or minor alteration of existing public or private structures. At the end of this section, the quote continues, the key consideration is whether the project involves negligible or no expansion use, end quote. Clearly, this project, is, as presented, expands the use of the park by the addition of 10 new units. Therefore, this exemption finding is inaccurate and invalid. Therefore, this project must follow CEQA requirements and file appropriate CEQA compliance documents prior to moving forward for approval. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next request to speak is from S. Wild. You will receive a notification from Zoom that we are attempting to unmute your connection, and you will have to acknowledge that request. So we are attempting to unmute the connection of S. Wild. That is the registration name used. And if you could please acknowledge that request. Okay. We can move on to the next caller and then go back to this request to speak. So caller with the last three numbers of 297, you will receive a notification from Zoom that we are requesting to unmute your connection, and you will have to acknowledge that request by pressing star 6 if you are joining via telephone. Okay, very good. And if you could, your line has been unmuted, and if you could please state your name for the record.
My name is Cecile Serbeck, CECILESURBECK,
I am calling on agenda item number 5, Mora Shore. California is in a severe drought. Los Osos Water Basin has still not shown Los Osos residents have a sustainable water supply. We should not be thinking about adding homes to tax our water supply even more. This makes no sense. Please stop trying to hurt the Los Osos community. Our wells aren't even monitored, so you have no accurate calculations on how much water agricultural and private wells are using. Instead of growth, you should be thinking about preservation and maintenance of our only water supply in Los Osos. Please be responsible and help the residents that live near Thou. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, and we will go back to S. Wild. It looks like your connection has been unmuted, and if you could please state your full name for the record, and your comments are limited to 3 minutes.
Yes, my name is Stuart Wild. My comments regarding this are, number one, we don't have enough parking spaces now, so increasing 10 units is going to be a real problem for traffic. Water has always been an issue, and I think other people there presented the correct information. It should not be allowed. One thing that hasn't been brought up is we are building, or they are going to build these on 2 leach fields, which haven't been in use for some time, now are connected up to sewer. At the last meeting I was at, I asked what the mitigation was going to be to prevent these units being put on there without any mitigation. We have one case in the park here where they did put a unit in, and it did sink, and it took about 3 months to mitigate. As far as I'm concerned, that has not been addressed at all. With regards to the 2-to-1 offset, I don't believe anybody in the park here would go along with it, regardless of what the information that's being presented today. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments. At this time, just one last reminder, if there are any members of the public that wish to speak on this hearing item, please use the raise hand feature at this time or by pressing *9 if you are joining via telephone. And Chairman Moultari, we have not received any additional requests.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Daniela. Thank you all for your comments. I'm going to close the public hearing now and return it to the commissioners for questions or comments. Commissioners?
You know, maybe, yeah.
I'm sorry. Commissioner Spearman?
Thanks. Maybe the other commissioners or staff could help me a little bit, because I'm just, there's several issues that are brought up that I'm not really seeing resolutions to. And the first one is the one that Phil brought up earlier, which is the transfer cost for the infrastructure build out. What's the answer to that? How is that addressed? Would probably be my first question. And then the second question is CEQA, it keeps coming up through the public comments. Maybe staff could clarify that. And the third one would be kind of in relation to the site. When the gentleman brought up the leach field, you know, what is the history of that site, and are there possible concerns that have not been addressed? So maybe starting out with Phil's initial question, which is the transfer of cost.
Carrie, do you want to do you have anything that you'd like to say about that?
Sure. We don't have any conditions related to that. This is the cost for this new development, so I don't know if it would be appropriate to condition it as that the cost associated with new utilities should go to the new. I mean, that's usually not what we would do, but
right.
The applicant has indicated that is the case, so we felt like that was addressed.
Yeah, just to reiterate, there are no new infrastructure costs that are passed on to existing residents. It would be built into the cost of the project, whether it's the newcomers or the owner's side. But there isn't anything that's going to be passed through to existing residents.
At least not in the utility bills.
Correct.
Right. So there, I think it's safe to say that the utility bills are not affected by this project. Now, if there are other infrastructure that needs to be installed, and it's the onus of the owners of the park to get that, how they pay for that or how it's distributed is a different question from whether their utility bills are going to go up.
And even then, with some of the stormwater infrastructure and all those things that we're proposing, that is also built into the cost when the homes are sold and with the newcomers. So it's not going to... There's no avenue to pass that on to existing residents.
Okay. The other question is a CEQA question. It's a technical one. My personal opinion is that the categorical exemption is appropriate, but I will ask the expert, Mr. McMasters, what he thinks of that.
Thank you, Chair Moltari. Steve McMasters, Principal Environmental Specialist. So there was a couple things that came up in regards to CEQA. One was... whether it was appropriately, the criteria was appropriately applied as to whether it's a project. The way CEQA works is the first question is the project or is the activity a project? In this case, it is. And that was what we concluded. The second step is then reviewing as to whether or not the project would qualify for an exemption. And so an exemption doesn't mean that we're not calling it a project. An exemption means that we've determined it's a project and now we apply the different categories. This is a difficult one in some ways because the part we were in reviewing the project and determining whether an exemption was appropriate and which class of exemption was appropriate, we were looking at the park as a development. And so rather than 10 individual units, we were looking at approximately 6% expansion of an existing park slash operation. So that's why it was determined that the class one of existing facilities was appropriate. There could be an argument made that it would fall better under a different category or under what was called the common sense exemption. In any case, though, in reviewing it, it is appropriate as a it is appropriate to exempt it, or it falls into the exemption category.
Okay, thank you. Christina, there was a third item that you, and I'm sorry, I didn't write it down quick enough. What was the...
Oh, no, that's fine. I think I'm just trying to get to the facts of some of the public comments.
Mm-hmm. And oh, had to do with the...
The leach field.
The leach field, and does that affect the foundations or the stability of the units?
And how does that kind of data come into when the county and the applicant are reviewing the property and then applying the land use? I guess is my question.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I believe that when I reviewed the materials, that a statement was made that the construction was going to be on not on top of leach fields, but on top of an area of those sewage processes that were previously tanks and not the leach fields themselves. But perhaps the applicant could comment.
David, do you have anything that you'd like to...
That's my understanding also, that it was not the leach fields, it was the tanks.
I was just going to add that it would be, there would be addressed in the geotechnical reconnaissance and their soils report. So when it goes into construction documents, a geotech would take a look at all of that to make sure there isn't any of those sinking issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they would come in for their building permits or prior to that, it would seem that that kind of analysis is kind of standard. I don't know what problems might have happened at another site, but I think it would be the kind of thing that would be addressed pretty routinely through the engineering and planning review.
Thank you. I thought those were good public comments. And just so there's clarity to the public, I think the other thing that was brought up by the public was the parking spaces. Can we just go over that one more time so there's understanding there?
Debbie, perhaps you could remind us, it sounded like there was going to be an increase in parking, net parking, and could you just reiterate the explanation of that?
Yeah. So right now we're required to provide 3 parking spaces, and we're providing 5 extra parking spaces. We're not eliminating any. We are relocating 5 spaces from another area, which is why there's talk of 10 spaces, but we're providing extra. As for the park in general, today they have 22 extra spaces, and in the end, they're going to have 24 extra spaces. And the spaces are guest parking spaces. Every unit provides 2 parking spaces on their site, and the requirement, and our units will do the same. And then there's extra guest parking spaces in the park.
Okay. So it sounds like this project will actually increase the guest parking spaces that are available to everyone in the park.
Yes, they will.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so just a question regarding the water offset. Obviously, water is a big question here, and it seems like this project is actually going above and beyond by willingness to do a 2-to-1 offset. But what is the validity to saying that the water offset is actually an effective tool? Is that something, because one of the callers said that the county was hiring a consultant to look into the effectiveness of it. Is that valid, and how effective is a 2-to-1 offset? Is it just adding that extra buffer above the 1-to-1?
Carrie, I think that's addressed to you.
Sure. The park, we are looking at the retrofit program currently, and it's more to look at the assumptions of the existing program and also to look at the estimated remaining capacity. 2-to-1 provides, is a conservative, it basically provides that buffer. So if 1-to-1 isn't working and the assumptions are wrong, 2-to-1, we know we're going to be saving water and the project will not impact the basin.
I can just add I don't have data for Los Osos specifically, but I have worked on retrofit projects or retrofit ordinances in other jurisdictions. And it's been my experience that the 2-to-1 offset actually does reduce water demand while allowing some new growth to take place. And it at least in the cases that I have worked on, it does work. But I don't have data for Los Osos specifically, but a common sense standpoint would suggest that if it properly administered, 2-to-1 retrofit should work. But it's a huge buffer.
Chair Montari, if I can add to that, exactly. And there seem to be some concerns about the logistics of the program itself. I think as the applicant, what we can do is to abide by the guidelines of the program and offer that additional 2-to-1, that buffer that we're talking about. So say there are miscalculations, which this consultant, we assume, will handle and deal with, that 2-to-1 buffer does make sure that we are not abusing the water there. And if anything, I think in the water memo that was provided, the addition of 10 new units is actually going to provide an added savings of 466,000 gallons each year. So whether those numbers are off for a little bit, we're going from 0 savings to somewhere in the 400,000s.
Okay. Other questions or comments? I would just add that having reviewed I do think that the retrofit of 2-to-1 provides the buffer so that we can be assured or reasonably assured that this won't impact the existing water demand. We've clarified that the utility bills are not going to be affected by this. We've clarified that CEQA categorical exemption in one category and another seems to be the appropriate process here. And that, I think, makes good sense under the law. I don't think that the addition of 10 units in Los Osos is going to increase traffic very much, maybe with inside the mobile home park itself, but access will be improved to some extent by the improvements to emergency access. And that's going to benefit everybody in the park, not just the new people. We've clarified that parking has been increased, actually, and that the landscaping plan has been modified to protect views. And, Carrie, you were going to add some language in there, I think, with regard to Commissioner Spearman's concern about natives. And I would point out that we do need housing, that mobile homes, although in this case are not going to be low or moderate income, are relatively less expensive housing options for our part of the world, and that the advisory committee for this area, the LOCAC, has recommended approval as well after considering all these things. So I would support approval of the project with the changes to the conditions that we've discussed.
Commissioner Moultrie, I think that's a great summary. I think we have worked to try to address all the public comments and factor those things in. And with the addition of the natives, and the reason I bring that up, ladies, just so you know, is just that, you know, every plant makes a difference to our pollinators and our environment, and that's what we're really working to do. Okay, that's it.
Very good. So, Carrie, do you have the language available that shows the amendments to the condition? Or do we need to take a little break?
Maybe just 5 minutes. I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, well, that's going on if we need to take a break, but I just have to come back to the, and it's one of these things that probably is not the business of the commission to insert themselves into a project or the operations of a commercial enterprise here. But, you know, in my experience, and I'm sure it's the experience of the commission, a little bit of proactive communication goes a long way to providing reassurance to sponsor, or should I say, stakeholders of a project. So in this case, maybe some proactive communication regarding the lack of clarity on some of the residents in terms of the financial burden or not. Connection to Los Osos wastewater processing, the infrastructure improvements and all those things. And I know that's no promise, nor is it a legal obligation to say that that's what will happen. But, you know, I'm a retired fixed income person myself, so I have some sympathy, and just a little bit of proactive communication might go a long way in alleviating some of those fears among the residents.
Commissioner Henry, if I can address that, we have someone on this call. He's not participating via talking, but he works with the management at the property, and we've provided hard copies of the plans in the communal clubhouse months ago so that the residents can come and take a look at them themselves. And we've had a number of these comments come through months ago that we've clarified. I hate to call it what it is, but I think there is quite a bit of misinformation going out there, and I completely agree with you, proactive information sharing for accuracy purposes, absolutely, and I would say that we've done quite a bit of that in terms of responding to individual emails well before we got to this point in the process. I think there are a few people who really don't want those homes and are pushing some points that we've clarified before, but happy to clarify them again, and we will continue to do so. But I agree with you, absolutely.
Okay. How are we doing, Carrie?
Doing good. I can pull something up right now. Let's see here.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Okay, so just to run through the other, this was the change in condition number 4, changing the date. We also proposed change to number 19, which I read in during my presentation. And then in response to Commissioner Spearman's comments, I added some language in condition number 20. Landscaping in accordance with the approved landscaping plan shall be installed for or bonded for before final building inspection, establishment of the use. If bonded for, landscaping shall be installed within 60 days after final building. All landscaping shall be native and drought tolerant and maintained in a viable condition in perpetuity. Is that satisfactory?
Yes, that works. Thank you.
Do we need anything in there to say that the landscaping plan will protect existing views?
Oh.
We could add that.
Views from the homes, I think, rather than of the homes.
How's that?
I think that gets the point across. One other thing is that one of our commenters spoke about maintenance of eucalyptus trees. I don't think that's a subject of this CUP, but perhaps along the lines of Mr. Henry's suggestions that he just made, that might be something that you could proactively contact that neighbor and see what her concerns are and if there is a legitimate responsibility on the part of the owners of your park to address those.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I can speak to that right now, actually, if you want me to.
Okay, David, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so just to keep it brief, David Graham, Public Works. So there is a county fee-owned narrow strip of land just adjacent to the mobile home park, and most of the eucalyptus trees are located in that strip. So that being the case, any trees that are on that fee-owned portion of land would be our responsibility to maintain. We will evaluate those moving forward and make sure that the issues are addressed. And I believe we have been in contact with this individual who called in. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We've seen the revised conditions. Is there any other comments? Is there a motion? Well, nobody else will. I'd move approval of Coastal Development Plan permit and development plan DRC 2020-00203 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions as revised in Exhibit B, and that includes the appropriate environmental determination as a categorical exemption.
I second.
Okay. We have the motion and a second. Is there any comments on the motion? Okay. Could we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
And Commissioner Henry?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you, and good luck working with the neighbors as well. Thank you. Okay, that concludes our hearing items for today and our meeting. So our next item of business is to accept all testimony into the record. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Okay. Second, somebody?
Second.
All right. It's been moved and second. All in favor say aye.
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 And now a motion to adjourn.
Yes, please. Moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Very good. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Staff, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you all.